Hello and welcome to Q&A with Perrier on calcium bentonite clay. We had an amazing session last week. This one is a little out of the ordinary. Normally we have our Live Well Lifestyle seminar today, but I'm going to be out of town next week, so I couldn't do the clay seminar then. So I'm doing two clay seminars, and next week I have put you in the capable hands of two of my favorite people on the planet, Dr. David Wilson and Dr. Chantel Mackey. And they are both psychologists working. Dr. Wilson works a lot in stress management and is working on a book called Mindfulness. Really two sharp young people. They both graduated at the top of their class. They have studied under experts. They're working together. They make a dynamic team. It's a joy just to be around them. I've had the pleasure of meeting them, being with them for a weekend, and I just wanted more. So I feel like I'm leaving you in capable hands. If next week on the 25th you want to listen in to the Lifestyle Wellness show, and there we talk about life and life stresses and how to cope with life to have less stress and more energy. And, you know, eventually those things will bring your wellness down. So that's where we'll be next week. I'm going to be next week in Kansas City, Missouri on September the 21st doing a lecture from 7 to 8 p.m. at Green Acres there in Kansas City, Missouri. And then the next day on the 25th we'll be in Wichita, Kansas at the Green Acres Bradley Fair store giving a lecture there from 7 to 8. And I'll hang around afterwards to meet and greet people. And then on Saturday, September the 27th, we'll be in Oklahoma City giving a lecture there. That one will be at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. because I have to catch a flight back home that afternoon. So if you're in the Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, and Oklahoma City area, come out and hear us. These things should be in the newsletter that we sent out for September. So I hope you'll join us there. All right, now let's get on to our questions. This is your time to bring your questions about bentonite clays and for me to share the many, many hours I've spent studying clay and looking for answers and figuring out how it works with your help and the testimonials and the scientific data and accumulation of things. It all works together. We have a few questions in queue here. This one is from Marilyn in South Bend, Indiana. Hi, Perry. I got some clay from Dr. Buffy Nemeth about a year ago. Love that lady. She's dynamic. Most of it was good, but the last 2 pounds when I mixed it with water tastes like detergent, so I've not used it. What would make it taste like that? I've been using your clay for 3 or 4 years now and love it. Marilyn, I would say it's gotten exposed to your detergent somehow. Maybe you left the lid off when you were mixing it a while. Clay is very absorbent. It absorbs odors. I know my daughter mixed a bottle of liquid one time and put it in the refrigerator and didn't get the lid on tight, and she said her clay started tasting like perfume. And when I asked her where she had it, and she told me, and I asked her what was in her refrigerator, it was obvious. It was summertime. She had cantaloupe and, you know, all the different things you have in your refrigerator, and they just cleaned her refrigerator of odors and put them into the clay. So your clay has been, you may scrape some off and try to go down and see if it's in all of it or if it's just on the top part that was exposed and absorbed the odors. Somehow it's picked up a contamination. And that maybe you've left it out on the sink next to your detergent or something. It's amazing how strong it is and what it can pick up. So, you know, keep that. Use it for a clay bath. Use it for topical feed it to your pets or your plants. But I'd mix me some fresh clay. Thank you. There is an article on, let's see, I'm trying to think where it is. There's one on aboutclay.com and livingclayco.com about how to store your clay, proper storage procedures. You don't want to leave it next to anything with a strong odor. Don't put it under your sink or in the garage, next to gasoline or something like that. Okay, thank you. And Jane in Atlanta, the very first day I started using bentonite living clay, I had to go to the doctor with a sinus infection, earache with fluid on the eardrums. I was given a steroid shot and antibiotics. How should I take the clay while I'm on antibiotics? I was sure hoping not to go through another sinus infection, but I'm sure I have to allow more time for the clay to clean out the toxins from my system. Well, one dose is not going to work, and it sounded like that infection had been well on its way before you got started. Taking the clay, you want to take it away from your antibiotics. Call your pharmacy, tell them what antibiotic you're taking and what amount, and ask them how long it takes your body to absorb that. Then take the clay after that time. Once it's absorbed, the clay won't bother it. And then you can take it any time after that. But you should also be putting a clay poultice over your sinuses, both the sinuses above your eyes and under your eyes and cheekbone. Put the clay mask on, just a band across your nose and your cheeks there. Let it dry. Then put a warm wash rag over it to kind of rehydrate it, wash it off. You may want to do it a couple of times a day. You can also heat a little water, liquid clay. If you mix your liquid clay, take about an ounce of it and add it to some purified water in a pan on the stove and let it come to a boil and put a towel over it and kind of breathe in the steam. You don't want to get too close. You don't want to get yourself scalded and you don't want to catch your towel on fire. So you be careful what you're doing. Just get a little, just for a few minutes, just breathe in the steam from the clay water. And of course you'll have to throw that out after you do that. But it can get up in your sinus in it and help unclog. One lady did that, and she had a whole bunch of gunk came out of her nose the next day. And start doing that, taking the clay internally and keeping those poultices on over your sinus cavities to help relieve the pressure and get the circulation and get everything unstopped from there. Thank you for that question. We haven't had a sinus question in a while. Roxanne in Gaithersburg. Can I get rid of cataracts by just using the clay on Telfa pads over the closed eyes without drinking the clay? My aunt most likely will not drinking it. You can certainly try that. You know, instead of we use the Telfa pads, but there's also get a little round cotton makeup pad, the little flat round circles that you use to take your makeup off, put the clay thickly over your closed eyelid and lay the little pad up against it. You can do one eye at a time. She may only have it in one eye, and put it on there and leave it 20-30 minutes. And you leave the little cotton pad on there to keep you from bumping it and getting it on your glasses and getting it on everything, and also to keep it from drying out. The edges may dry a little bit. Just re-wet them and hydrate it before you try to wash it off, because when it's dry, it's kind of abrasive and your eyelids are tender. So be sure and rehydrate it to take it off. If you can do that 20 or 30 minutes a couple of times a day, it may also improve your vision. Now, I've also have a solution, an eye wash solution that you can put clay in. You want to mix your liquid clay and let it settle and take some of the clay off the top. You want to put 2 tablespoons to 4 ounces of eyewash solution, purified eyewash solution. Now, this is not lens cleanser, and you may have to ask at the drugstore for them to help you find it, because so often it's all mixed in there with, they have so many lens cleansers, and when you're first reading them, unless you finally turn around and read on the back, it sounds like it's an eyewash solution, but you just want the sterilized eyewash solution. It comes in a little plastic bottle, 4 ounces. Get you a small cup, kind of like a fruit cup, one of the food grade fruit cups you store food in, and cut the tip off and squeeze all the water, the 4 ounces, into that little cup. Add 2 tablespoons of the liquid clay after it has settled, and kind of shake that up. And then you can get one of those eye cups and pour the clay in it and throw your eye back and push it up against your eye and put your head back and blink your eye and look to the right, the left, up to down, and leave it on for, you know, as long as you can. Then do the other eye. Generally, after doing that and after doing the clay packs, I get a lot of white stuff in the corner of my eyes or some stringy white stuff. It really opens those tear ducts. And it helped me. I used to have dry eyes, wore contact lenses, and had dry eyes. And since I've been using the clay, I don't have the dry eyes. My eye stays lubricated, so I think it unclogs the tear duct there, so you get good lubrication. So try those two solutions. You might can do eye drops during the day, get you a dropper bottle and put some of that solution in the dropper bottle. Just shake it each time before you use it. And or you can do the eye wash cups. All right, Caro in Chicago. Hi, I have a friend that has right knee pain. I suggested a poultice of clay. He did, but he experienced more pain. Do you have input? Thanks. He is a construction worker. It's bringing blood flow and oxygen and detoxing the area. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Hang in there. It's a good sign. It's a sign something's happening and it's working. I would start drinking the clay also, because drinking the clay will help dissolve calcium buildup that gets in the knees and the joints. And I've had people with deformed fingers from arthritic conditions, and when they start drinking the clay, their joints become flexible again and those knots go away. So he definitely needs to drink it and stay with it. Generally it brings relief, but depending on what the condition of his knee is, you never know. So I wouldn't give up with it. Maybe start drinking some first before he puts a poultice on. Thank you. Roxanne again in Gaithersburg. Will the clay work for someone who has diabetes 1? This person takes insulin since childhood. I really want to be able to help him, to let him know this will work. No, juvenile diabetics, diabetes 1 is... the pancreas has completely quit functioning, so there is no insulin production. They have to take an outside source of insulin. My daughter is a juvenile diabetic. Her case didn't come on until she had gotten out of college. She was about 25 when it hit her, and they said it may have been virus-induced. But the best thing he can do is watch his diet, stay regulated. You know, don't go too long between eating something, because you don't want your blood sugar to drop. You really have to monitor it. And I wish we had a cure for that, and I certainly work to those means. It's one of my projects that I like to donate to, specifically since I have a daughter involved with that. All right. Now, we have quite a few people with type 2 diabetes that, along with diet and exercise and supplements, have gotten off their medicine. So if you know anyone with type 2 diabetes, the clay is definitely beneficial there. But you've got to do a little common sense work along with it. Even the clay needs some help. The clay is so good at balancing, at cleansing, at getting rid of parasites, at getting your immune system built up. So it helps for pretty much so many things, but it won't affect that. And Roxanne again, good questions, Roxanne. Does the clay pull minerals from the body? If so, does one then need to take double minerals? No, the clay does not pull minerals or supplements. It's looking for heavy metals. The clay is nothing but minerals. It's made up of trace minerals, like 70 to 90 trace minerals. So these minerals, you get a little bit of a mineral supplement, but not enough to make a daily minimum requirement. So keep taking your minerals and your supplements, even though you're taking the clay. The minerals in clay act together. They're bound by an oxygen molecule. It holds them together, and it kind of makes this inner layer cage, so to speak. When the clay is hydrated, the clay expands. It's like little business cards, little rectangular business cards. And when the water gets added to it, it's activated, and it swells. And in between those layers, in the inside of those little business cards, are many, 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 many negative ionic charges. So it's like a little magnet in there, and it sucks the toxins into that area and captures them. But it doesn't go after minerals. It's actually known if you put clay over a broken bone, it'll help build bone density. If you use it in your mouth occasionally, I do it maybe 3 times a month. I pack my gums with clay. If I have a gum infection, if I've got popcorn down in one gum and it's kind of aggravated it, I'll do it more often. I'll pack the dry powder clay. You just take a ridge on the back of your toothbrush, pull your cheek out, and dump it between your cheek and gum. You may have to do a couple of dumps to get it around that tooth. And, you can take a sip of water and swallow what's on your tongue, but the saliva will stick it around that tooth. This is good for a toothache. It's good for pulling bacteria out of your gums and keeping your gums healthy and tightening your gums to the teeth. It's amazing what it can do. When I had my braces on, the dentist was concerned that there might be a small cavity right under the gum line, but he couldn't get to it because of the braces. But he said, let's just watch it. And I started packing clay on it. And it might have been a tiny bit of decay, I'm not sure, but when I got my braces off and he checked, it wasn't a problem. It hadn't developed into a cavity. So I don't know if the clay remineralized it. If you have bad deteriorating teeth, the clay doesn't have the strength to mineralize it. But if it's something small and you catch it right away, brushing your teeth with clay daily, swishing with clay, liquid clay, are all good to help keep from getting bacterial infections down in those gums and getting cavities. So use your clay. You know, a lot of people do pulling oils. You can do it with clay. Put the clay in your mouth and swish with it. This is also good for mouth ulcers, and it just helps the whole body. And in the morning after you sleep with the powder in your mouth, you can brush your teeth, just rinse it out and brush your teeth. Any you swallow during tonight is only going to be to your good. So keep taking your mineral supplements, because you won't get them from clay, but clay will not deprive you of what you already have, okay? All right. Roxanne, I love having you on the show. Thank you for your questions. Will the clay work on the condition of Hashimoto? You know, I've seen that and I know what it is, but I'm going to have to take just a minute to go look it up. I think I know what it is, but I hate to make a guess and be wrong. So let me get over here and go to good old Google. And I'll see how quickly we can get an answer for you. Disease is a condition in which your immune system attacks your thyroid, a small growth at the base of your neck, just below your Adam's apple. Okay, here's what I would do for that. I would put a clay poultice over your Adam's apple area, that area where your thyroid gland is. I would do it at night, every night, put it on. You can cut a piece of Glad Press and Seal the size you need to go over the clay and leave a little edges to stick to the skin, and it will hold it in place and you can sleep with on at night. I think that might help develop your thyroid gland and your immune system, and I would be drinking it too. I would be drinking 2 and build up to 3 ounces at least, maybe even go up to as much as 4 ounces 3 times a day. And we had one lady with Graves' disease, which is a parathyroid disease, and they had told her that nothing can cure it. You'd probably have to have your thyroid removed. But she did take the clay quite aggressively, and when they checked again, they had no sign of it. And, of course, they said they must have misdiagnosed it, but we've all heard that before. So, yeah, I drank the clay, and I do a poultice over the thyroid area, and I'd love to hear how she does with that. Okay, Jan in Huntington, New York. I have a high viral load but no symptoms. Herpes 1, 6, and 2, Epstein-Barr. Never had these disease. Will the clay reduce the viral load? It should. I've had a testimonial for Epstein-Barr before. And I know it's cleared up some of the herpes. So I would drink it if it's a vaginal herpes. I would put the clay mask down in that area at night, wear a panty liner and some little underwear at night to sleep in. I would take a clay douche. I would drink the clay. I would, you know, really attack drinking it. You want to, if you have a high viral load, you want to take as much as you can and gradually built up. You may start with 2 ounces 3 times a day, and you want to build up to, I'm trying to type and just a minute, talk at the same time, and I'm not too good at that. So you want to gradually build up, and you can go, like, increase it by 1 ounce every couple of days. Epstein-Barr is also known sometimes as mononucleosis. So yes, what clay does is there, it works with a catalyst in your body that can build red blood cells. And often when you have this, your red blood cell count gets low and you get anemic. So definitely be drinking the clay, using it wherever the herpes shows up, either as a rash or an irritation, use it. And again, start out with 2 to 3 ounces 3 times a day and build up to, I'm trying to do internet stuff at the same time, to, now I lost my page. Okay, build up to, you know, a dosage that's really getting you results. Just listen to your body. You can increase it and listen to your body. It'll kind of tell you if you need more or you need less. So everybody is different. We have different degrees of problems going on in our body, different degrees of dis-ease. So I would definitely just gradually increase it until you feel like you've reached where you need to be. Jane in Atlanta, I've had a hard time staying asleep at night. I have tried all kinds of supplements, even sleeping medications. Does the clay help with sleep, and if so, how? Clay baths at night are very relaxing. It puddles you, and people sleep well. The thing I find that keeps most of us awake at night is our minds are running 24/7, and we have a hard time shutting off the day and hanging up our hat, so to speak, and leaving our worries for tomorrow. So we try to lay there and we think, and we can't get our minds to quieten. And you might try some deep breathing and just clearing your mind, meditating, and getting calm before you go to bed. Sit down, listen to soft music, and close your eyes and just breathe in. And as you breathe out, just relax, starting at your shoulders and go all the way down. If you can take a clay bath at night, I sleep like a baby when I have a clay bath. And I just had some company here from Germany who stayed with me for a week, and I fixed her a clay bath, and she said, "Oh my goodness, I got out and my skin felt baby soft." And she does this with a beautiful German accent. She said, "But I slept like a baby. I don't know when I've slept so sound before." And of course, she was not in her own bed, and I have a fold-down couch that I had a pad on, so it wasn't the most comfortable bed in the world, but she did get a good night's sleep. So you might try that. You can start with a cup of clay, and if that works, you may want to stay with it, or you may want to cut down to a half a cup and see if that's also relaxing. You want to get down in the water as much as possible. Always mix your clay for a bath in a blender so you get all of the lumps out, and that way it's not harmful for the plumbing. So put some water in, put your clay in, put some more water in, and fill it to just about an inch of the top. Put your blender on and go pour it in your bathtub. Rinse it out real good. And before you get in the tub, take the blades off and wash them and make sure all the clay is off of them. You don't want to leave them in prolonged contact with the metal. Get down in that hot, warm water, and I make a roll, a towel. I get my hand towel and make a little roll for behind my neck and take a wash rag, and I just scooch down in the water, and I keep the clay stirred up. And you can stand there 20 minutes or so. If you have a bath that keeps even temperature, you must have a hot tub type bath. You may want to take some water with you so you don't dehydrate. But normally a good bath, you can stay in 20 minutes or so, and they're very relaxing. Now, don't rinse off afterwards. Just dry off. Pat yourself dry. Your skin's going to be baby soft, and if you have little bits of clay on there, it's going to help your whole body all night long. So try that and let us know how that works for you, okay? Sally in Houston, please tell us what sources or companies confirm clay value. Who discovered its use and who processed it to an edible stage? My question runs off my computer page. Please tell us what sources or companies confirm clay's value. When you go to a clay company, they should have a section there that talks about clay analysis and a quality control report. The quality control report will tell you, I know that for living clay, I know this is true, the quality control report will tell you that it is within the standards set by the federal government for a food grade, ingestible food grade. So it has the limits there, and then there's a certification that says the clay was tested and did fall within or below the standards set on those on that sheet. So some companies don't test their clay. The Living Clay Company will take two tests from each batch and send it to an independent lab for testing. and then they do some testing of their own to make sure that it meets the edible, a food grade quality clay. So it should be as pure as the food you get. Probably better than some of the processed foods at the grocery store. And not all clays do that. Sometimes you have to ask them. Some of them don't really know much about clays. You'd be amazed at the companies who are selling clays that have no idea. They think your clay analysis, the fact that they had an X-ray diffraction and it told them that it was pure bentonite means it's pure and not contaminated. It may mean how much bentonite clay or montmorillonite is in the clay, but it does not tell you if it had any E. coli, salmonella, anything contamination had gotten into the clay that doesn't meet federal food grade standards. So that's what you want to look for. And if they don't know and they can't produce it, I wouldn't take that clay as an ingestible regardless of what they say. I'd have to look up a company to tell you, be able to tell you. Some clays have been processed and it's hard to tell. You have to read the fine print and know what you're looking for. They don't want to come out and say it's processed. If you're looking at a clay and it just says bentonite clay and it doesn't stipulate whether it's a calcium or a sodium bentonite, you're pretty much dealing with the sodium bentonite. They just don't want to say it because the sodium bentonites are more for industrial use. Unless it's a low sodium, there are some low sodium clays out there that are acceptable, but if it has a high sodium content, you also want to ask them what the pH value of their clay is. What is the pH? Some clays, there are a few clays out there that are acidic. So you want a clay that's alkaline. So I hope that's helped you, Sally. And let's see, Jan and Huntington again. I have a very antibiotic-resistant tooth abscess related to an old root canal. I pack clay every night. Doesn't seem to take care of this problem. Can't take antibiotics. How much clay should I drink to help rectify this? I'd be drinking 3 ounces 2 to 3 times a day, but I'd also put the clay over the outside of the jaw where that tooth is. So not only pack it in the around the tooth at night. Evidently, this is a very deep-rooted abscess, and it's very difficult to get those to pull up the top. So if you will apply the clay mask on the outside, I start in front of the ear, behind the ear, down under the jaw, and on the top of the jaw over where that tooth is. Put some clay mask on, and, you know, before you go to bed, if you can do that while you're watching TV, and put it on rather thick and let it go all the way to the drying stage and really pull, feel the pull, and leave it on a little while after it's dried. And they just watch TV for an hour or so. And when you wash it off, dry it, and then put a thin coat on, not a thick one, but a thin coat on, let it dry and you can sleep with it on. And maybe the two of those will help take care of that. Yeah, it must be very deep to not respond to the clay. And then I think everybody should drink the clay 2 to 3 ounces 2 to 3 times a day. Sometimes it's inconvenient to take it with you, so that's why I say 2 to 3. If you're taking medications, find out how long it takes to absorb your medicine and then take the clay. You don't want to drink a lot of water right after you take the clay because you want the good heavy coating of the clay to go down and work on your intestines and your gut and do its healing. Wait about 30 minutes and then drink clay. And you do want to drink a lot of clay during the day, particularly if you're taking large amounts of clay, just to help flush off the die-off. Wow, we've had good questions today. Roxanne again, is candida a fungus or a virus? You know, I'm not sure how it's qualified as, it may be just qualified as a yeast. It's more of a yeast. And she said, I've heard you mention before it is a virus. I've never heard that before. So many people have this condition. I don't know how this condition all suddenly got rampant. You know, we never heard of it. I never heard of it 20 years ago. I've never heard of Candida. Women get a little yeast infection sometimes when they wear too many clothes, heavy clothes in the wintertime, and don't get any oxygen to their vaginal area. But that's the only yeast infection I ever heard of. So all of a sudden, everybody has Candida, and it's running rampant. We know that sugars, yeast, carbohydrates feed it. So we want to neutralize it. And you've got to watch your diet. I have a friend that's diagnosed with it, and she's on a very strict diet. No dairy, no breads, no sugars. Nothing with sugar in it. She eats lots of salads and vegetables and meat. And she can have, you know, a 3-ounce beef patty, grass-fed, or a 3-ounce piece of chicken. You need your protein, nuts, protein, and meat. But definitely avoid carbohydrates, breads, anything like in any sugars or things that, and your carbohydrates turn to sugars. Fruit, she has to be taking off of fruit. She can't eat fruits anymore, and she has to make her own salad dressing that's just vinegar and oil, and she adds a little bit of seasoning to it, some garlic and stuff to it. She's lost a lot of weight, but she had a condition where she was fainting and they couldn't figure out why, and they checked her blood sugar, and so. Yeah, I don't know if it's our lifestyle and the processed foods what has made this come up to the surface and run rampant, but it's a definite problem for a lot of people. Okay, well, clay helps sickle cell anemia. A gentleman at work has this condition. You know, I really don't know. I don't see why it wouldn't help, because I know it helps build red blood cells. And sickle cell is kind of a bone marrow situation where it's not making the red blood cells. So it certainly wouldn't hurt to try it and see, have him see if it helps in any way. I don't know if there's more complication to sickle cell as if it's an immune disorder. I'd have to read up and study on it a little bit, and we'll try to get back with you with that. Jay in Huntington, does the clay help with high cholesterol, especially small particle LDL? You know, it's funny. Some people get good results and they notice their cholesterol dropping, and others don't. Cholesterol can be dietary or it can be inherited. The inherited cholesterol is not as easily affected as just the eating too much cholesterol. If you're eating, you know, eggs and you like things with butter or fried and what have you, if you'll take some clay before you eat those things. I like Alfredo, but if you've ever cooked Alfredo, it's pure cream and butter and a little flour. Now, how bad is that? Or if I go with my grandson and there's pizza, or if I go eat Mexican food, you know, I want to drink some clay ahead of time. Clay will absorb oil. If you've ever put a little oil in a pan of water and sprinkle the dry clay over it, you'll watch it absorb the oil, and then it sinks to the bottom. So you want to take it away from your vitamin E oil tablets, I'll tell you that. But some people have, one lady who was a fitness instructor and ate healthy noticed her cholesterol dropped 100 points. Now, others, it would, what doesn't affect. So monitor it and check and see if it's working for you. If not, there are several places where clay will either work great for somebody or it won't affect the problem. Blood pressure is one of them, and cholesterol is another. And there's some others I'm not thinking of right at this moment, but it kind of adapts to the different people, and we have things for different reasons. Okay, Dennis in Elgin, Illinois. My question, what is ORP, oxygen reduction potential of the clay? My water isonizer delivers a minus 400 plus with pH of 7.12. Have you ever measured this? You know, I would have to go in and look up scientifically how that is done. What I know is our pH is a 9.7, and it maintains its pH. It's not something that a lot of the waters you mix, you know, after it stands for 3 days, it loses that pH value. So I think clay might be very good since it has a 9.7 pH. Yours is 7 to 12, so that's good. The unique thing about clay is homeostasic. It doesn't want to over-alkalize you, but it will bring you into balance. And balance is what we're looking for. I don't know how it does it. It's just like our bodies are naturally homeostasic, and our body temperature, that's why we sweat, to maintain our body temperature and maintain that state of balance. And clay has that same ability, so balance is very good. My friend Jay in New York. Greetings, Perry. I just tuned in. Thank God you make available teleseminars if we miss you in real time. Question, because I put living clay into my life so abundantly, drinking toothpaste, hair cleanser, facials, baths, foot baths, recipes, lotions, and potions, will clay rust my wedding ring? I do not take them off. My rings are diamond and white and yellow gold. I continue to drink my clay 2 times daily for gallstones, diverticulitis, and healing. Again, my journey started with clay in April of this year. Not 100%, but about 98% returned to feeling well. I had so many concerns. Lymes, low thyroid, gallstones, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and the new concerns are herniated disc, diverticulosis, and some calcification. I really feel well most of the time, and from your very first words of encouragement saying to me that my healing will be day by day, on that day I had hope and have not turned back. Blessings to you. Thank you, Jay. You always say the nicest thing, and I'm so thrilled that you got such wonderful results with clay. Jay described her condition as, she said, I felt like a dead woman walking. And she had been trying everything for about 3 years, and they finally discovered that she had Lyme's disease and hadn't been treating it. And the clay was the first relief she got. She was in a lot of pain and no energy, and as you see, she uses it every possible way. I don't know if it will rust your wedding ring. I've never heard of that. I wear rings a lot of time when I mix clay, and I just wash it off. I don't leave the clay on it, and I've never seen any rust. Sometimes the yellow gold or the white gold may be platinum, and I don't know if it takes something with iron ore in it to affect the metal or not, so I would just watch it, and drinking the clay, it's certainly not going to affect it. If you keep your hands in the clay, mud, or mask, and don't wash your rings off, it might become a problem. I just have no idea. I've never even thought about my jewelry. It doesn't seem to affect it. So I have a very old ring that's, I think, 18.4 karat gold. It's was my grandfather's, and it's a very soft gold. and I haven't noticed any problems with it, and I mix clay all sorts of ways. So, and probably leave it on when I put the clay on my face, but then I wash my hands off. So I don't think you're going to have a problem with that. And congratulations, stay in there on those problems. I think drinking a lot was going to help that diverticulosis. Diverticulosis is little pockets in your colon. Watch eating foods with seeds. The seeds get in there and cause irritation. So keep drinking that clay. And as I recall, you're just drinking a small amount because you were very sensitive to things. I would start trying to build it up a little bit more and drink more, and that may get a quicker results for your diverticulosis. All right. Wow, what a wonderful day. And here's more. Francine from Quebec. I have hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. I have IV injections of DMPS and EDTA for almost 2 years to flush heavy metals out of my body. The only medicine I take is desiccated thyroid. I brought living clay and started drinking 8 ounces a day since last week. I drank all, all liquid and clay. I also, I lost the page. Oh, hang on a minute. I lost my Q&A page. Well, something happened and the question popped off. Here it comes. I have hypothyroidism and Hashimoto, had IV injections of DMPS and EDTA for almost 2 years to flush heavy metals. The only medicine I take is desiccated thyroid. I brought the living clay and started drinking it, drinking 8 ounces twice a day since last week. I also take 2 to 3 clay baths a week with another kind of clay I have. Is it better to drink clay on an empty stomach? Thank you. I think you'll find that I have results. One lady did some testing with the DMPS and the EDTA for detoxing, and she said the clay out-detoxed it. She was using it for children with autism, and said the clay was easier to use. The clay baths did a better job than the other two. So I'm glad to see you're trying that. Is it better to drink it on an empty stomach? When you first start taking clay, we tell you to take it on an empty stomach. If you're doing the cleanse, if you're concerned with cleaning your lower colon, it's more effective at pulling out old fecal matter out of your colon if you drink it on an empty stomach than if you drink it before meals and it's trying to work and it's in there with a bunch of food and stuff. So that's sort of up to you on what you want to accomplish and your schedule on taking it. I'm a firm believer if you get it in you and on you on a regular basis, it's going to find a way to work. I think you're taking a very good progressive approach, and I look forward to hearing from you again and seeing some results. Oh, and here's, wow, this is from Francine. She said, comment, I learned that one of the causes of candida could be mercury deposits in our body. The candida would grow to protect somehow from mercury poison. I've had chronic heavy metal toxicity for years, and I'm working on that. Well, that stands to reason. We've got fish with mercury in it. I had someone with mercury problems, and I said, what is your source of mercury? He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, how are you getting this mercury? What are you getting exposed to it? I said, do you eat a lot of fish? And he said, I eat canned tuna 3 times a week and lots of fish. So if you're a fish eater, drink a little clay before you eat your fish, because more than likely it's got mercury in it. Our lakes and rivers have been so polluted in our oceans that we really need to start doing that. And that would make sense on why it's coming up. Thank you for that information, Francine. See, I live and learn every day. I'm not here for you as much as you're here for me. So together we learn together. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, Roxanne again. Been using your clay about a week and just love it. It really pushes the toxins out of you. About to use it as a douche for some uterine cancer. Do you use 2 ounces of liquid clay to a pint of water each night until it's gone? I'm drinking it 3 times a day using poultices on me, getting the clay's bath as often as I can, and hoping to get rid of this in 3 months because they want to do a hysterectomy and I refuse because I knew I could get rid of it myself. I told the doctors I need 3 months to work on my condition. Since I have been in natural health field for 35 years, felt very positive about doing this myself. Excellent, excellent proactive approach. And I really believe in clay. It does pull the toxins out of you. It does more than pull the toxins out. When you take a clay bath, I believe the clay stimulates the release of the toxins so they can be pulled out more easily. Maybe that's why it works better than the DMPS and the EDTA. All these initials get me confused. Okay, I think you're doing a great approach to it. You might even mix some of the clay mask, and if you have, you know, like a little suction things, you've seen these little suction bulbs where you can clean kids' noses out, and you squeeze on it, and it sucks the clay, the mucus out, sucks some clay out, maybe a douche bottle, an empty douche bottle, fill it with some of the clay mask or mud, somewhere between the mask and the liquid, a little thicker than the liquid, but not as heavy as the mask, and squirt that inside you. You can use a sanitary napkin at night. You hold it for a while, lay down and hold it for a while. Let what comes out, what wants to come out, come out, and then use a sanitary napkin. I just feel like in your condition that might be necessary. And see how that works for you. If you get stomach cramping or something, dilute it even more with water. And I feel like if you're getting any kind of something going on, it's the clay working, so sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. I wouldn't get too alarmed, but please feel free to call me as you're going through this if you have any questions at any time. I love to discuss with people, and sometimes when we throw our ideas out and talk about what's happening, we can find a solution rather quickly. So congratulations on that approach and wanting to take care of yourself naturally, and I feel very positive about what you're doing, and I'm really excited for you. Please keep us posted. My husband is concerned the clay baths will harm our her septic system. Can you let me know what I can tell him? Yes, there is an article on aboutclay.com about how clay is safe for your septic system. We had a septic system expert talk to us about it. He said it would take years and years and years to build up. It doesn't get in your lateral lines. It sinks to the bottom. And the amount that you have in a clay bath is, you know, like a cup of clay. When it's mixed in water, it's going to spread out very thin. It actually has some microbials in it that might help with your septic system. The problem is, and if you don't mix it right and you try to scatter it over the water and you have lumps, you want to get all the lumps out. So if you will get a blender, put it in your blender and get all the lumps out, then pour it in your bath water, rinse the blender out, you should have no problems at all. This was a construction guy who put in septic systems, and he said, we've actually had some people with older houses that had plumbing problems, and when they started one lady had a house with 50-year-old plumbing and usually had to get a plumber out twice a year. And since her daughter was autistic, she was giving her clay baths every week. And she said she hadn't had the plumber out since she'd been doing the clay baths. So tell him that it actually helps clean your pipes. All right. Wow, the questions keep coming. Can clay help dandruff? Yes, sir. You take the clay and massage it into your scalp. You want to take the clay mass, the mud. Part your hair, rub it down into the scalp. If you got a shower cap, put it on, walk around, leave it on it for 30 minutes or so, and then wash your hair. Usually one or two times. They even use it on babies with cradle cap. After they're born, the mucus they've been in the mother's womb is kind of dries on the scalp, and then it starts peeling off, and it's very flaky and all, and clay will help loosen that and get it off. Shouldn't have to use it but about two or three times. If your hair feels coarse afterwards or dry, use a conditioner after your shampoo, and that will take care of that. Jan, thanks so much for all this great info today. Can you please give us the mixture ratio for the 32-ounce bottle again? Thanks. She's talking about the 32-ounce bottle of liquid clay. To a 32-ounce bottle, you want to add two cups of water. A 32-ounce bottle is 4 cups. 2 cups of water. You always want to sandwich your clay between water. If you put it at the bottom of the clay and then it gets white, wet, sometimes it sticks to the bottom and it's very hard to get it up and get it to dissolve. So get a funnel, and it's a half a cup of clay to 32 ounces of water. Now, I put it in by tablespoons, and I use 6 rounded tablespoons. And you kind of tap against your funnel, because if you dump it in all at once, it's just going to plug the hole. But if you tap it on the side, it'll go right in. Put the lid on and shake it very good with this 2 cups of water. What you're doing by not adding all the water at one time is leaving shaking room to agitate the clay and break up the lumps. Then you can go add the rest of your 2 cups of water and shake it again. Leave it on your cabinet, and you will immediately see the heavier particles sifting to the bottom. Now, if you have another 32-ounce jar, let it sit for an hour or so, and then pour the liquid off and leave the residue there on the bottom. You can add water to it and give it to your plants. If you want to just leave it there, you don't need to shake it every day. The clay will stay in emulsion. It will stay on your kitchen cabinet. This clay is inert. It won't spoil. It spoils if you leave the lid off and stick it next to something that's smelly. Just leave it. I leave mine on my kitchen cabinet, and I have some of these little 2-ounce glasses, cups for these little water cup thingamajigs. And I just have those by my water bottle, go by and fill it and take my dose of clay. And if you've ever put the clay in a glass and drank it, you will notice how it coats the glass and how it feels very slick. And if you try to rinse it out, if you just rinse it out with water and turn it over, it's going to dry with a chalky coating inside the glass. So you really have to scrub the clay out to get it clean. So imagine how it's coating your stomach and the lining of your stomach and your colon and getting into those diverticulitis polyps and things. So that's why when you drink it, you want to wait 30 minutes to an hour before you drink a lot of water. Now, it's good to drink water into the day because it helps flush out and carry out the toxins that the clay releases. Again, when you drink the clay, it works from the mouth south. And now the clay particle is not absorbed into the bloodstream, and I really believe this is why the FDA turns a blind eye to clay. Some people seem to think their clay particle size is small enough to go through the colon wall. From what I've read, most clays aren't, and don't. And that's the safe thing. I think if the FDA thought it was going through the colon wall, they would stop it from being used right away. Now, it can affect the whole body when you drink it energy-wise. It gives you a little bit of energy. It activates dormant cells that we have in our body. And through catalytic action, it can make a transformation. The body works together with the clay, enzymes attached to the clay, and they can actually make minerals and protein through amino acid and peptide chains that the body is deficient in that the clay doesn't even contain. Now, if it can do that, that's why I trust this clay. It's amazing how it gets around in the body and works on the whole body. Granted, if you want to detox stuff that's already stored in the body, you need to start taking clay baths. But drinking the clay daily is a great preventative, particularly if you drink a little before you eat, because it's going to assure that it's getting toxins and heavy metals and things that might be in your food out of the way, radiation and stuff like that. So this has been a great day. I love these questions. A friend is just being diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer. I want to tell her about the clay. What should I tell her? Baths, drinking, poultices. Thanks, Monica. Monica, we don't really make cancer claims. We do have some testimonials that dogs had tumors on the surface that were healed. It would depend on the stage and what's going on with your friend to know what her condition was. I would want to drink with it. I mean, I would want to talk with her before I recommended too much. It certainly won't hurt to drink it if she's not, if she's taking chemo, since it doesn't go through the colon wall. If she's taking the IV chemo, it shouldn't interfere with it. You can still drink it. It's going to keep the mouth from breaking out, the intestines from bleeding and getting ulcerated, and all the things that the chemo does to it, does to our bodies. It's going to help with that. She could definitely put poultices over the, if she knows where the tumor is, she could put poultices over there, and it's going to get worse probably before it gets better, because it's going to pull the cancer back to the point of origin. The clay baths would be very good. There's just to detox her whole body. I don't know what, everybody studies their situation and plans on an action they want to take. And I had a good friend with lung cancer, and she let us know right away that she had researched and studied and planned a course of action, and that she appreciated all the well-wishers who had all their little remedies, but she was going to stick to hers and just let us know right away. Don't bombard her with ideas and things you read on the internet and other things. Yes, poultices. Yes, drinking clay for a plethora of reasons. The clay baths will relax her, might help her sleep at night. A lot of people who have been on chemo, had it not been for taking the clay, would not have been able to continue their chemo because they got so sick from the after effects. And definitely after clean chemo to take the clay baths. Now, taking the clay baths, I don't know enough about chemo, about taking the clay baths when you're on chemo might be taking out the chemo. I really don't know. So I would avoid the clay baths until she had completed the chemo. And she has a good friend in you, so just be with her, and best of luck. Jay, can clay go through the colon wall if you have a leaky gut? No, it doesn't seem to. It seems to heal the gut. Clay heals kind of from the inside out. It's amazing. I've heard of people with leaky gut who it healed their leaky gut taking the clay. So it's not permeable to go through the colon wall. It doesn't go through the membrane. And I had too many people that had leaky gut that took it and had good results that I wouldn't worry about that. Thank you again. Wow, what a day. I haven't even gotten over to the phone lines. We have a lot of people on the phone lines. Does anyone on the phone line have a question they'd like to ask? If so, if you'll press star 2 on your phone, it will open your line and you can ask a question. So I'm going to talk just a minute and see if anybody wants to ask a question. This has been a great session. The last few have been really wonderful. We've gone over. It's supposed to be 30 minutes and it's 1:05. But Cheryl assured me she could go in and add time onto these lectures when we get a lot of questions and it keeps going on. Here's another question from Chris. Would putting clay mud on my breast for cysts help shrink them? Yes. It may take some time. I would be diligent about it. You can do that during the day. You can put the clay mud and take a piece of square of Glad Press and Seal with the sticky side to the skin over the clay and let the dry edges be on the skin. It will hold the clay in place and you can wear it during the day as well as at night. So I would definitely do that. Yeah, good question. Thank you. Ooh, more questions. Hi, Perry. Lower right side of belly, right above the hip and leg connection, I have half-filled balloon-like bubble there filled with liquid as it squishes with the liquid sound. I want to use the clay application externally and internally. What do you suggest? Thanks, Amy. Amy, do you have any idea what has caused this and what's in there? It could be a little fatty cyst or something. I would put a poultice over right over that area. Again, use the Glad Press and Seal over it or some saran wrap and to hold it in place. And I would use it at night and day. I would keep it on as often as I could. And you know me on taking it internally. I believe everybody should drink the clay. This might be kind of a fatty cyst. I just can't imagine what it is, but, you know, something can kind of balloon out and fill with fluid, and it takes a long time to get the fluid out. During the day, if you can, maybe in the evening, put clay on it and lay down on the bed and just let it dry naturally to give that really strong pulling action. You might try it that way. Do both that and the covered. Internally, I would get on clay. I would start at 2 ounces twice a day and build up to 3 ounces 3 times a day and just listen to your body. And, you know, when you think it's doing good and you want to back off the amount of clay, back off. And if you feel something getting out of balance again, start increasing your clay and find your happy place with clay. Everybody's dosage is different. Clay is not a drug, so it doesn't act like a drug. All right. Roxanne, thank you for making this show great. Your questions have kept us going, and I love it. Roxanne says, this clay is fabulous. I've been using it on cracked fingers, swollen lymph nodes, sacroiliac joints, and spine for pain. It is working extremely well. Thank you for your book and knowledge. Yes, thank you for sharing that with us. Swollen lymph nodes. You know, put a clay poultice under your armpits. Very good to clean our lymph glands. Their lymph glands also in that area that lady was talking about between the leg and the hip joint there. So that could be a lymph, swollen lymph node. Sacroiliac joints. Any kind of spine problem, you put a clay poultice down your spine and take the clay baths and they seem to pull out the swelling and inflammation, and that helps relieve pressure and helps realign the spine. Thank you for that beautiful compliment. Cracked fingers. A lot of times in the wintertime, our fingers crack. My grandson gets that. His hands get real dry and crack, and he's always in the dirt and playing ball and stuff, so he gets those very sore, tender fingers. And you can put the clay on your fingers at night and get some rubber gloves and put on and sleep with them on. You know, cracked heels, put the clay on thickly on your heel, put some saran wrap around it, put a sock on and sleep with it on. My heels are so soft, and I wear sandals all during the summer, but my heels stay amazingly soft, thanks to clay. Well, that is a great testimony of this to end with, and thank you for that, Roxanne. Keep on asking questions. And again, I'm going to go back to my phone lines and give one more chance. Anybody on the phone line, press star 2, please. Well, it looks like we have no questions, and we are complete for today. If you're interested in the Live Well Lifestyle Seminar, please listen in on the 25th to hear Dr. David Wilson and Dr. Chantel Mackey. They're going to co-host the program and talk about stress and what's going on in your lives and give you some tools to work with some of it. And Lord knows everybody has it. I don't think anyone's exempt from that. Thank you for listening in today. It's been my pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to coming back from Kansas next month and visiting with you again. This is Perry A. signing out.